Good evening, everybody. My name is Christopher Buck.
My name is Leanna Duvey.
And we are the online faculty of Humanity Healing University that will be teaching the course on angels in our group. And we'd like to welcome everybody here tonight. And thank you very much for joining us. The course itself will be over a couple of months, and will constitute a lot of different things. It's amazing once you start getting into angels themselves how much information is out there in every single religion that there is. The book that the textbook that we'll be using as the basis for the e-course is called The Angelus, and it's something that Leanna and I wrote. It's a compendium of angelic rituals and attunements, as well as a broad history and overview of angels.
All over the civilization and through time. It was an e-book that took like an year and a half to be made, so it was not an easy task. It was not something that was gendered together. It's a result of months upon months of studies and actually interviewing people that had, I would say, a third degree contact with angels. And it is more than just a formula or just, you know, incantations on how to evoke the angelic presence. It's more than that, because everybody knows in order really to invoke the presence of an angel, you have to be attuned with the energy that this angel represents. Most of it is the virtue that this angel represents. The angels are basically a reflection and messengers of God. Therefore, they are really, the embodiment of the divine and its virtues.
Now, tonight, the ritual that we'll be doing towards the end of this teleconference is called the Circle of the Flaming Sword. It's a ritual of protection, and we'll get into a little bit more detail. We'll get into a lot more detail, actually, on what this is. But coming up in some of the future courses, we'll be doing things like activating your own sword, activating the angel of the heart, activating the angel chakra, which technically isn't a chakra. It's
more like a point of contact. Is a point of contact between two chakras, which after you have certain exercises that you can activate those two chakras in the point in the middle way, and this point connects directly with other realms of will. For those that are familiar with ageless wisdom tradition and how the subtle bodies are organized, it's a point between the sixth and the seventh chakra, and the connection goes straight ahead above the soul chakra star.
So we've got that we're doing. A couple of very interesting ones that'll be a lot of fun to do. One of them is how to communicate with your own guardian angel, and there is the initiation into the Order of Saint Michael, which is a pretty big deal. But tonight, as I said, we're going to do the Circle of the Flaming Sword. At the end of the visualization, we will open the teleconference to questions and answers. But right now, everybody is muted, so we can get a nice, or as clean as possible, a recording for those that can't join us here tonight. So let's go ahead and get started on the other things. One of the things that I would like to explain is, first of all, we talk about the Angelus. Angelus is essentially Latin for angels, and the
angels actually, the angel's name is a kind of a interesting word. If you go back in time and see, the diverse cultures and how they name it, angels actually came from the word angels, because the ancient people believed that there was an angel for each day. So when you divided the 360 degrees of the circle by the 72 names of God, because it was known that each angel or main angel will be carrying itself, one of the attributions of, you know, of God itself. So they would have the name. They got to 5 degrees. So we have in every 5 degrees angle an angel. So the name angel came as a derivation of the word angle. There's other interesting facts, which means, you know, in everything, in every direction, up, down, inward, outward, forward, that you can possibly imagine, there is also the, you know, you can infer that there's a presence of the divine. The interesting thing is that this goes exactly with one of the main, I would say, the main thoughts of the ancient wisdom, which says there is no one inch of the universe that's created that's empty. You know, all the dimensions are populated with the energy of God.
That's true. That's both Midrash and the Zohar. Okay, Midrash is basically a interpretation of religious text, and the Zohar is a Hebrew text, or an ancient Hebrew text that is part of their religious tradition. But it specifies that there is no blade of grass that does not have
their own angel.
An angel
saying to them, "Go, go, go." It's kind of a very beautiful way to see the world, and certainly, you know, you have to admit that it gives new perspective for us that have just human eyes, trying to see the world through the eyes of another, I would say, line of creation. And the angelics are certainly another line of evolution as well.
But before anyone can really participate with angelic rituals, one, you need to have a fundamental understanding of what angels are, or at least as much of an understanding as we can have, this side of the pearly gates, so to speak. For starters, and I like to say, is angels don't look like tubby adolescents with wings, harps, and halos. You know, Michelangelo had some beautiful works, but in all of the ancient texts, in every civilization, you know, angels or these divine messengers are described as being great and terrible. In other words, they were pretty awesome to behold, and you wanted to be very proper and careful when you were talking with them, or
well, because they are embodiment of the divine, so you have to have at least a very a sense of respect, and they use a term of fear. The fear of God is not necessarily that you're terrified of God. The term fear, I believe, is used wrongly in various parts of the Bible. The fear of God is more I would say, a sense of respect, and you know, knowing what your position is, referring to the creation. We are creatures that are being trained to be co-creators, which doesn't mean that we are God, but at the same time, we are God because
we are part of this
creation. Yes, we are part of His creation, therefore we are part of Him. And but doesn't mean that necessarily we will grow to surpass Him or take over. Otherwise, we're going to be just like, I would say, a Luciferian idea, which we don't want here. What we want actually is talk about being co-creators, because the essence of the universe unfolds itself. The essence doesn't change. The essence always expands with the help of other minds that get to a level of consciousness and ascension.
Now, angels have been a part of our histories and our texts from the very earliest part of civilization. You know, they're mentioned in the Epic of Gilgamesh. They're mentioned in ancient Egyptian texts. They're mentioned, of course, in the ancient Hebrew texts, which were the basis for what became the Christian texts. As a matter of fact, you know, at the beginning, several of these cultures and the like but they all describe angels as being the souls of the stars, or as being from the stars, or the stars representing different angels. And to be honest, this for those who are doing the stellar codes, they do know that this does tie into what we're doing there, but we're not getting into that part of it this evening. What we will do is get into a little bit more detail. I think tonight we'll go ahead and discuss the Christian celestial hierarchy, and then we'll start talking about the visualizations and techniques and that we're going to be doing with the meditations and the circle of protection tonight. So the Christian celestial hierarchy. Now understand that every religion has a bit of a different hierarchy. No two religions really agree on what angels are or what angels do. Not even the three religions that make up the people of the book, which are the Jewish people, the Christians, and the Muslims. Essentially, they all worship the same God, and as a result, they all have the same angels. However, they disagree on how these angels function. For instance, in Christian theology, we have angels that Lucifer went to war against God, and there was war in heaven, and angels fell. In the Islam faith, they think that that's absolutely ludicrous, because there's no way that an angel can, you know, go against God, because they essentially are the word and the messengers of God. It's inconceivable that an angel would have the free will to rebel against God. So here's two faiths that are very close together as far as angels and the deity, the God they worship, but completely different outlooks on how they interact with angels. In the Jewish faith, it's a little bit more it's kind of a cross between the two. Angels have specific functions, but angels also do other things.
The interesting thing about the vision of angels, and especially in Kabbalah, there is a part of it that says, one of the books, I think it's in Sefer Yetzirah, that says that when you apply yourself with the heart, with your entire heart, and pray, the act of a human praying to God from his heart creates in itself an angel that flies to God with the message, or with the plea, or with the request that you made. I think it's a beautiful image that is reported there, which means, you know, we really are creators or co-creators, because we are able to create at least an image, I wouldn't say a soul-infused being, but a thought form that resemble an angel when you actually are activated and connected completely with the energy of your heart and with the energy of the divine. So this is, I think, it's a very beautiful image. What Chris talks about, he wants to do an overview here in different religions, specifically about how they understand the angel evolution. And I will pass back to you.
Well, it's briefly, it truly is fascinating. If you put in the time and the energy and the effort to read the texts and to go through the different traditions and how they view angels, it's a fascinating subject. Of course, you don't have to go through all that trouble, because we have it in the Angelus. But that in the Christian tradition, there is a celestial hierarchy. And angels are grouped into these. And the person that codified this, as you will, is referred to, or his name is Dionysius the Areopagite. Okay? Say that three times fast. Well, St. Dionysius is easier. But what he essentially did is he broke down from the different texts that he had read how the angels would be grouped in heaven, and they tend to be they're grouped by choirs. There's nine choirs of angels in three different tiers. Now it is interesting, if you hop over to and you'll have to forgive me, because I jump back and forth a lot, because this is pretty cool stuff. If you go over into the Jewish tradition, one of the things that they say when they talk about choirs of angels is that at all times there are different angels singing hymns to God. And at one point, Moses was in heaven, and he could tell the time of day on earth by which angels were singing, because they all sang it at certain times. But getting back to the Christian hierarchy, your highest hierarchy has in it the seraphim, the cherubim, and the thrones. And this is, if anybody is familiar with the vision of Ezekiel in the Bible, he sees God and he sees these angels, these three beings, and this is where we get this information out of. The three things are multi-faced. I'm not going to go into a whole lot of detail on what each supposedly looks like, but I will highlight the thrones, which are the most unusual, if you will.
The thrones are angels. They're known to be warriors. You know, they are like the kick butt, you know, warriors. So the thrones are always under the command of St. Michael, and nowadays it says that the thrones are under the command of the feminine energy of the Blessed Mother. So when you pray for Mother energy and you ask for protection, make no mistake, the energy that will come to protect you are the really kick ones, the thrones. They are the soldiers.
Or you would say they're the upper echelon warriors. They're the because you have others in the rank and file of the what you call the shock troops of heaven, so to speak. So you've got the seraphim, the cherubim, and the thrones. In the second choir, you've got dominions, you have virtues, and you have powers. These powers are the ones that I was alluding to that represent the bulk of the angelic warriors in God's army. And supposedly they're tasked with maintaining the borders between heaven and earth, and also to protect those routes in and out, and stay on guard against the demons and of the nether regions. And then the final group of choirs are your principals, your archangels, and your angels. Now, one of the things that I'd like to mention here, it causes a tremendous amount of confusion when you're talking about angels. You hear, for instance, let's pick the Archangel Michael, who we're working at. He is an archangel, but he is also a seraphim. He exists, and the way to look at this, and it causes confusion, because it's like, well, if he's this, how can he be that? The truth is that not only God, well, all of us exist on multiple energetic levels. For instance, you have a physical body, you have a soul. That's two different levels. Angels themselves can manifest within different levels to do different tasks that they're assigned to. So you'll have certain angels such as Michael, who is on most of the different levels tasked with different things. And that is how Michael, for instance, or Gabriel, hop around so much or within the text. Now, I will point out here that Michael is only one of two angels in the Old Testament of both the Christian and the Hebrew Bibles that is mentioned by name. The other angel mentioned by name is Gabriel. The other names that we get from angels, and most of the other times they're just referred to as an angel or a child of God.
Son of God.
Son of God, depending on how it's translated. And but the other angels, we actually have to go to the Apocrypha to learn. In the Book of Enoch, which is one of the books that it's not canonical in the Western Christian Church. It is, however, canonical in the Ethiopian Christian Church. So you'd find the Book of Enoch in their Bible, just like you'd find Genesis, for instance, in ours. Now, in that book, there are seven angels mentioned by name. But the angels that are mentioned most are Michael, Gabriel, Raphael, and Uriel. And this is because that before the biblical flood, let's go ahead and hop into the biblical flood real quick, and then we need to move on. Man, in many traditions, there was a biblical flood. You know, evil abounded. In this particular case, there is supposed to have been some interbreeding between angels and humans, producing a race called the Nephilim. But what happens is, you know, God decided this, you know, we need to start over.
This is not a good genetic experience.
And
so let's correct the outside genetic aberrations.
So what he was going to just wipe the slate clean and start over, but the four angels, those four, Michael, Gabriel, Uriel, and Raphael, are spoke before God on behalf of mankind. And as a result, Noah was allowed to build an ark, and
the rest of the story, you
the rest is history, or biblical tradition, depending on how you view Genesis. But from that standpoint, those particular four angels have come to be known as the protectors of mankind, and they're all archangels in this particular incarnation. But it's through history and through the assimilation of different religions together, they became also known as something called the Four Towers, which started through the archaic Roman religions and then developed into. So we have the Four Towers, the Archangel Michael, Gabriel, Raphael, and Uriel, who, by the way, we will all be calling on in the ritual of protection this evening. But the problem is that there's so much information, we could talk for hours and hours and hours, and unfortunately we don't have that, and I don't want to run out of time before we have a chance to answer some questions. So, Leonie, unless you'd like to jump something else in.
The thing that I just want to finish up here is this. Chris is very excited, and he wants to pass a lot of information at one time, but the main thing that we should keep in mind is that the angels have been here on Earth since the beginning of creation. They are the helpers, you know, one of the many hands or the many lines of evolution that co-create with us in this space for us, representing various scales of how the energy of God decompose or reflect themselves like prisms, so the energy of God can come to us. The same is said about the Archangel Metatron, which is the higher archangel on the on the hierarchy. It's said that he is so close to God that he actually is the voice of God. And you know, if you imagine all those realms and all of those angels working as at the same time bringers of the divine energy down, but look at them as like umbrellas, because they reflect like the first energy that comes directly from source back to Metatron decompose like a prism of light,
perhaps diffuse,
and then breaks it down, and after Metatron a whole entire host of angels that are concerned about creation and form, or creation and sound, of creation and colors, and all the sorts of vibration that compose the universe. So if you look at this, you perceive there's much of life and movement in everything in our daily life. And the most, which I think is interesting, there's one ancient poem that talks about somebody that has a view on how the sun downing every day, and how many angels were involved on keeping the harmony of the day starting and the harmony of the spheres. You know, it's not something that happens so naturally. It involves a work, anonymous work of a lot of beans in the background to make a flower bloom and to make the sun shine and continue rotate and the harmony of all the spheres together. And it's just incredible. So, if you want to continue now, Chris.
What I'd like to do is step through. The problem is there is a lot of information, and we will go through this more in some of the other courses. What I'd like to do is step through some of the visualizations that we're going to do that will with the ritual of protection tonight. The first one is that I'd like to do is Gassho. And Gassho, of course, everybody knows that the namaste position, where you have your palms together and you bow. This is Gassho. And we will be doing that out of respect to the angels as we go through. The second visualization aid I want you to think about is the plane of eternity. There's a lot out there which discusses the plane of eternity, and when we go into some a little bit more depth in the book, but essentially you want to picture yourself on an open expanse of field that stretches off into the horizon in all directions, with no horizon. The earth doesn't curve; it just goes off, and above you would be the great central sun. Those are probably the first two, and then when we're summoning angels. It's difficult to actually see angels or see these angels all the time if they don't want you to. But what you can do, and an easy way to visualize them, is to visualize the color of the tunic they'll be wearing. It's also helpful to place that tunic in a setting of the season that they represent, and that way you may or will have an image of the angel. Okay, real quickly, let me walk through what you've got. For the Archangel Uriel, what you'll have is a citrine and olive with reddish tones, and his season is summer. And Raphael, you're going to be having a yellow tunic. His season is spring. With the Archangel Michael, you're looking at bright red and green, and the season is autumn. And with the Archangel Gabriel, he'll be dressed in blue, and the season is winter. So what we would like to do is start the circle of the flaming sword. So I want everybody to quiet themselves and find your center. I want you to start breathing deeply, okay? We're going to be using a 4x4 breathing method. It's what we use in most of the meditations we do. And that's where you will inhale for 4 seconds. You will hold for 4 seconds. You will exhale for 4 seconds. And you will hold for 4 seconds. And I want you to continue this pattern. And then I'm going to step you through the visualizations of the circle of the flaming sword. So, as you're breathing, start sending yourself into your Tan Tien, which is your center. It's located below the navel, in the center of your body. It's your center of balance. So everyone is breathing slowly, inhaling 4 beats. Holding 4 beats, exhaling 4 beats, and holding 4 beats. Now in your mind's eye, I want you to visualize yourself standing on a vast plain that stretches into the distance in every direction. This is the plain of eternity. Slowly turn in a circle to your right. When you stop, you will be facing north. In your mind's eyes, I want you to raise your hands over your head, palms forward, and in a clear voice, send your intention outward, saying, I call upon the four towers for protection. I call upon the Archangel Uriel that he may grant me his protection from all earth entities that would do me harm. When Uriel appears, place your palms together in the Gassho position and bow. Turn to your right until you are facing east. Raise your hands over your head, palms forward. In a clear voice, send your intention outward, saying, I call upon the Archangel Raphael that he may grant me his protection from all aerial entities that would do me harm. When Raphael appears, place your palms together in the Gassho position and bow. Turn again to the right until you are facing south. Raise your hands over your head, palms forward. In a clear voice, send your intention outward, saying, I call upon the Archangel Michael that he may grant me his protection from all fire entities that would do me harm. When Michael appears, place your palms together, Gassho position, and bow. Turn to your right again until you are facing west. Raise your hands over your heads, palms forward. In a clear voice, send your intention outward, saying, I call upon the Archangel Gabriel that he may grant me his protection from all water entities that would do me harm. When Gabriel appears, place your palms together and bow. Continue to turn to the right until you have completed the circle and are again facing north. Raise your face upwards to the great central sun and lift your hands, palms up. In a clear voice, send your attention upward, saying, I call upon the presence of God Shekinah, that I may have the strength and fortitude to withstand any spiritual entities that would do me harm and transmute their energy for the greater good of all. Visualize yourself being bathed in the light of the great central sun. Feel the light filling you and soaking into every fiber of your being. Continue turning in a circle until you again face Michael. Bow and take the flaming sword that he offers you. Grasping it in your right hand, continue turning to the right, drawing a circle of fire with the tip of Michael's flaming sword. When the circle is complete, return the flaming sword to the Archangel Michael. Place your palms together in the Gassho position and bow, saying, I thank you, Lord Michael, for your protection. And so it is.
It is.
Turning to the right, repeat the procedure of bowing and offering thanks with the Archangel Gabriel. I thank you, Lord Gabriel, for your protection. And so it is.
And so it is.
Continue to turn to the right until you reach the Archangel Uriel. I thank you, Lord Uriel, for your protection. And so it is.
And so it is.
Continue turning to the right until you are facing Raphael. I thank you, Lord Raphael, for your protection. And so it is.
And so it is.
Continue encircling to the right until you are again facing north. At this point, you will have made three complete circles. And say, I shall do all things with the light of the Christ within me, who strengthens my total being with a shield of crystalline light, love, and power. I am made from the pure love of God. And so it is.
So it is.
Now seal this ritual by making a golden cross on your body. Touch your forehead and say, to thine, O God. Touch your solar plexus and say, is the kingdom. Touch your right shoulder and say, and the power. Touch your left shoulder and say, and the glory. Place your palms together, gassho position, and say, until the end of ages. And bow, saying, and so it is.
And so it is.
Now bring your soul back to your physical body while maintaining the sensation of the light still inside you and the warmth of the flames of the circle of protection still hot against your skin. Inhale. Hold. Exhale. Hold. When you are ready, open your eyes. The ritual of protection is over. All right. That is Archangel Michael's Circle of the Flaming Sword. It's one of the rituals in the Angelus that you can read. If you'll excuse me a second, I'm still coming out of it a little bit, and I'll be fine in a second. Leanna, is there anything else you'd like to say, or should we open?
No, I think we should open because of the time.
Questions and answers. All right, then I'm going to
unmute
people one moment while I do that, and we will start the question and answer ceremony.